Welcome to the CIO Today podcast with your host, Stella. In this episode, we will be having an insightful discussion about mental health services, counseling, and leadership. Joining us today is brilliant Trisha K. Williams. She is a seasoned counselor and CEO of Metamorphose Counseling and Consultation Limited.
Hello, Trisha. How are you doing? I really want to thank you for being a part of this episode with me today.
Thank you, Stella. I'm very excited to share as much as I can about my business and to talk with you as well.
Yeah. So as the CEO of Metamorphose Counseling and Consultation Limited, your innovative approaches to counseling demonstrate not only clinical expertise, but also a commitment to continuous improvement. This dual role as a counselor and a CEO reflects your ability to balance clinical excellence with effective organizational leadership. So, without any further ado, let's just get started with some questions so that our audience can discover more about you and your work.
Yes, thank you so much.
So, it would be great if you could share with us your journey. How did you come to choose this path and be where you are today?
Oh, it is quite the journey. I would say that it started, I think, as a kid, you know, as a child growing up. I just sort of recognized that I had a lot of observational skills and I tend to listen more than talk more. And I think my family recognized that as well. And my mom, she is quite the generous person in her demeanor, and my grandmother was like that too. So I sort of learned a lot of skills from them in their way, the way that they approached others, the way that they listened to others, the way that they were giving to others. So that was mentored, you know, to me, and I modeled to me, and that guided my process as well. And I think as I grew older, I wanted to be in a profession that would be giving to others as well, and to be taking care of others was a part of it too. But never thought that I would be a business owner. I always thought that I'd be employed by somebody in the helping profession. And, you know, initially I wanted to be a doctor, specifically a doctor to children. And because, you know, for some reason, children were a big part of how I wanted to share with the world and to take care of children. And then as I grew up, I recognized the challenges that came with taking care of children, but also how difficult it was and collaborative it was and challenging to get into sort of the medical field. I had to shift and change, right, and transition into a different field when I was in my undergraduate. Because the courses were difficult. It was challenging as well to navigate some of the courses in undergrad. And I remember having sort of an existential crisis where I was just like, I don't know what I want to do with my life anymore. You know, things aren't working out. And I feel like a lot of people come to that place too, where, you know, you're just like, I don't know what I want to do. You know, things aren't lining up the way that I would want them to. And I found myself, you know, needing to seek help, right? And I spoke to a few helping professionals at my university at the time. And, you know, they said to me, okay, what is your purpose? Like, why are you here? Why do you think you were put on this earth? And it was a huge question, right? One that I think so many of us need to ask ourselves before even going into a career path. Yeah, and it took me some time to really think about that. And then the next time I went back, I said, you know what? I really want to help people. And specifically at the time, I was like, I want to help children. But I said, it's not just children. I think I really just want to have a positive impact on people's lives, you know? And they said, well, if that's the case, there are multiple, you know, ways that you can do that. And it sort of opened my eyes to the possibility of other things that I could do that could fulfill my purpose. And I remember that person looked at my transcript and said, oh, you're doing, you know, sociology, and you're also doing psychology and, you know, working with the humanities. Like, why don't you focus a little bit on, you know, some of those subjects and see how you do? And I said, okay, I can try it, you know, and see. But I wasn't convinced at the time, you know. They said, yeah, do a few more courses and see what you think. And I did. The next semester, I went into a whole bunch of humanities courses and, you know, psychology courses. And to my surprise, I was really intrigued by some of those courses. And I said to myself, wow, this is a whole other way of helping people and getting a better understanding of people and, you know, the challenges that they go through. And then I thought to myself, I was just going through a challenge myself and needed help. And recognized, you know, that sometimes we get stuck in a very specific path and we're unable to move past it. And that was one of the biggest places that I said to myself, you know what, this is something I could do to help others who've probably been stuck as well in their career path or stuck in, you know, maybe a mental mindset and need to shift and change the way that they're thinking so that they can access what it is they need for the future. So that's really where everything sort of started for me. And you know, again, I had more transitional things happen in my life that sort of cemented, you know, for me why this path was important. And it's basically the whole mantra for my business, you know, Metamorphose Counseling. Metamorphose is the process of change. Is really what the word means, you know, the process of a caterpillar changing into a butterfly. So that idea is our business is here to help people navigate that process of change, navigate transitioning, you know, in life, you know, in career, in relationships. And we want to provide services to people so that they can, you know, reduce their anxiety, you know, navigate and process their traumas and, you know, get coping strategies to get them to that next place that they need to be.
That's amazing. You know, when you started with how your grandmother and mother had a lot of influence on you, that came from a, you know, a place of kindness and respect. So that was truly inspiring to hear.
Yes, definitely. They had a big impact on me.
Yeah, so as a leader in community and social services, how do you collaborate with other professionals and organizations to enhance the impact of your counseling services on a, you know, broader community?
Yes, I definitely think that success in the healthcare field or the wellness field means communicating and talking to other health professionals too. I truly believe that collaboration is the way of the future, right? I really don't think that we need to compete with each other. I think a lot of times people think that, oh, you know, if you're the same or if you're in the same business, you need to, you know, push that person out to get to where you need to go. But I found that collaboration is actually a better way where you're able to talk to other professionals. You know, you get ideas and you're able to share with each other. You're even able to help each other improve your business so that you can, you know, best provide services to clients. Now, one of the things within the mental health field is that, you know, sometimes a client won't fit your clientele or your, you know, population. For example, I specifically work with, you know, young people who are navigating change into the career and, you know, maybe some adults who are navigating challenges as well. But I don't see people over 55 and I don't see children, which is interesting, right?
Because you want children.
Exactly. So it's, you know, it's a very specific population. So if, for example, we get a referral into our clinic for a child or for a senior, we generally refer them to other professionals. And the thing is, the more we collaborate with other professionals and community partners is the more we're able to then, you know, send those clients to the right place. So that's one way. Another way we collaborate is, you know, through causes that are important to us. So there are two things that are important to me right now is, you know, making sure that the clients I see and people know about mental health and reducing stigma in the mental health field. So I've collaborated with a few organizations that talk about, you know, wellness for BIPOC people or BIPOC people. And also I share resources for self-care, you know, with everybody as well. I'm an Arbonne consultant, you know, that talk about, you know, B certified products, right? So there are different ways that I collaborate with organizations to provide services to the broader community, whether it's reducing stigma for seeking help, or it's providing wellness tools for them, or it's maybe doing a presentation or a panel just to bring, you know, highlights to what the mental health field is all about.
Mm-hmm. That's really excellent perspective of a leader indeed. So as the CEO, can you share a key strategy that you have, you know, implemented to foster a supportive and inclusive environment within your organization?
Yes, I think that this is so important. One of the things that I think I do is I don't necessarily have a hierarchical structure, organizational structure within our organization. I think I have more of a circle approach in the sense that everybody has ideas that are important. And I think that it's important for us to have conversations where we brainstorm, come up with ideas, and everybody's, you know, thoughts are valued in a sense. And I think that that approach helps the business to grow more rather than saying, you know, I'm the CEO and having sort of like top down approach, making people feel small. I think by elevating people and working alongside others, uplifts others, empowers others. And then it helps the team to work more efficiently because they feel valued, they want to come back to work and they'll stay. But also they'll feel like the things that they have to share are important and they're valuable and they feel worthy of working with an organization like ours. So I think that that's one of the things that's important, having that circular approach. And I think that that comes very much from an Indigenous thought and the Indigenous people here in Canada sharing sort of that opportunity to share in circle with each other and be more collaborative on teams.
Right. That's really precious. Thanks for sharing. Next up, I'm curious about your views on balancing clinical work as a counselor and leadership responsibility as a CEO. How do you prioritize your time and efforts to ensure both individual and organizational success?
This can be really tough because, you know, as a CEO, you want to get everything done. And sometimes you're just like, you know, if somebody else isn't doing what they need to do, you don't want to jump in and just get it done. But I found that delegation is really important. And, you know, making sure that you're giving your team time to get things done. So prioritizing time, I would say boundaries. You know, having boundaries between work time and personal time is important, and being strict on those and maintaining those. But also, you know, when it is work time, putting all the energies in to get what you need to get done. But, you know, in order to put energy in, you need to know exactly what you're going to do. So I think creating goals and having strategic meetings that are going to discuss those goals and identify ways to implement and execute those goals are important. So that means maintaining specific boundaries and time, delegating, and making sure that, you know, you really walk away from that task that you delegated, and also being strategic with meetings, identifying goals and strategies that are going to execute those goals. And each time, you know, you meet with your team, you're making sure you're ticking off the things that you're getting done so that you know that you've executed them well.
Wow, that's a very smart way of balancing responsibility. So can you share a situation where your skills in family therapy were particularly instrumental in helping a client navigate and overcome challenging family dynamics or conflicts?
So my approach is the Bowen family systems theory, and that's a foundational approach to family therapy that I use and sort of share how that therapy modality helps clients to navigate challenges. So right now we know that there is the war going on in, you know, in the Palestine. And we have a lot of clients now, especially families that are coming in, you know, being triggered actually. They're not in the area, but they have families in the area, and it's really difficult for them, you know, to sort of be on the sidelines, you know, feeling a sense of helplessness and not being able to lend a hand. I think one of the biggest issues too is people feel like they can't talk to their families, sort of like communication is cut off and they're unable to connect with family. Now, there are other challenges that come up too, where we talk about conflict that can come up within families as well. And I find that, and I found that there's, you know, when there's, I guess, difficulty, sometimes war, sometimes, you know, these transitional things happen. We find that sometimes conflict can come up within those different situations. So I actually have a family where, you know, we have somebody who is from Israel and they're married into a family that is Palestinian. So it's quite interesting, you know, because they're each on different sides of the war. And, you know, that kind of conflict can be difficult to navigate, right? Because each person has their own, you know, view on the challenges that are happening and the strife that's going on. So within this family system, I think one of the biggest things was to help them, to ground them, to help them to recognize, okay, yes, this challenge is going on, but what is the foundation of your relationship? You know, what is it that, you know, brought you together in the first place? You know, they were able to identify that, but then using sort of the family therapy skills, you know, within that family system is helping them to reduce their anxiety, which is, you know, there's this huge war happening. So it's not normalizing that for them and helping them to recognize that, yeah, it makes sense that you would be on edge. It makes sense that you would be really anxious about what's going to happen, and wanting to make sure that you're okay and your family members are okay too. So that's the first step.
Right.
The second step is to help them to figure out, okay, how can you talk together as a family about the issues that are going on, right? Because it's okay to have disagreements, right? Normalizing that too, to say that it's okay to be on different sides and to have a different way of thinking about something, but it's figuring out, okay, how do you move forward with that? And can you move forward with that? So that's a lot of times the couples needing to sort of navigate that question, you know, what's the way forward? And then sometimes, you know, you have children in the mix and them needing to, you know, figure out how do we talk to our children about this, you know, and how, you know, if my children have questions, what do I say to them, right? And I think it's important as parents to have an idea of where you stand first and, you know, come up with somewhat of a common thing that you both agree on before talking to the children. So the children will realize that you're both united in your approach or what you're gonna say about a situation, so specifically about a war. I think that that is something that would be really important for a family unit to feel grounded and together, you know, in the fight against something or for a cause. So I think that that is one of the things that I've tried to do with families is, again, reduce their anxiety, help them to work as a team, as a system together, be able to talk about and communicate the disagreements and gain understanding of what's happening. And remember that emotional connection is the most important piece of it. Right. Even if there is conflict or there's disagreement, reminding them that the connection between the two of them is what is going to be mostly important. And that the situation happening right now is temporary. So hopefully I answered that question well.
Communication and kindness, you definitely did. Brilliant. So this brings me to my next question. So, you know, considering your extensive experience as a counselor and CEO, What advice would you offer to individuals aspiring to build a successful and fulfilling career in the field of counseling and mental health services?
Mm-hmm. So right now I'm a supervisor for 3 aspiring counselors. I'm doing their practicum. Wow. Yes. And, you know, one of the things I do tell them is that, you know, becoming an entrepreneur in the mental health field is something that we really need more mental health professionals. But we need right. mental health professionals that really want to help people, right? Because the truth is we work with a vulnerable population. So people who are coming to us with their stories, they're coming to us with things that they wouldn't necessarily tell anybody else, right? So our approach to them is important. So really looking within yourself, are you doing this for the right reasons, right? I think that that's utmostly important. Why are you here? Why are you doing this? And is this for the right reasons? Are you here for them, right? So that's first. The second thing I would say is really, you know, get the counseling skills, but also, again, as a business owner, you need to get the business skills too. So 2 of the business skills that I think is important is, you know, financial foundation is huge. So making sure that you understand how to manage and navigate your finances. And the second thing is marketing. Making sure that you understand what marketing looks like, how you can share your business with others, and what's going to be the best approach for you. So those 2 things I would say would be really important for anybody wanting to get into any business at all. And in the mental health field, utmostly important to find out how are you going to connect with clients, or how are clients going to know about you? And then how are you going to manage your money well and your finances well once you get into this business? The last thing I'll share is self-care. As counselors, you know, we really listen to stories and we're there for others, right? But sometimes we forget to take care of ourselves. And I think that's one of the things that's going to make, you know, a person a really good counselor is their ability to know when they need to take some time for themselves. So, you know, identifying limits and capacity to take care of others, gain supervision. So every counselor has a supervisor as a way to, you know, navigate through challenging cases, do therapy yourself, go on your vacations and take a break. And also, you know, just manage your caseload so that you're not overworked or have compassion fatigue. So those are the 3 things I would share, you know, about becoming a counselor.
That's really brilliant. I think our audience would be, you know, they would feel really understood by that. So that was really amazing. Thank you for sharing such valuable things with us. It was a really good experience talking with you today, Trisha.
Thank you so much, Stella. I really appreciate your questions, and it was lovely talking to you as well.
I'm glad that you feel so. Perfect. I hope you have a great day ahead.
You as well.
Thank you for tuning in to the CIO Today podcast. We hope you found today's episode with Trisha thought-provoking and also comforting. Remember, transformation begins with understanding, and we'll continue to bring you amazing conversations with experts like Trisha. Until next time, stay curious and keep evolving.